The Power of Tolerance, A Debate, by Wendy Brown, Rainer Forst, Luca Di Blasi, and Christopher F. E. Holze. Spannungsübungen are discussions that seek to identify subtle differences and elicit tensions between and inside differing positions without dramatizing them or forcing them into a rigid antagonism. Tolerances. Anyone who deals with the notion of tolerance in some detail will notice that this apparently harmless notion is quite elusive. It responds to conflicts and at the same time produces them. It stands for a struggle against power and can be understood as a practice of power. The tolerance paradox is probably the most famous one. In order to preserve tolerance, one has to be intolerant towards those who are intolerant. Pushed to the extreme, this leads to an authoritarian zero tolerance for the sake of securing tolerance. At the same time, there is the politically opposed, but similarly radical position that in an unjust society, tolerance favors the persistence of social inequalities so that it is necessary, for the sake of furthering freedom, justice, and equality, to be intolerant even towards tolerance. The biological notion of self-tolerance, for instance, refers to the capacity of an organism to recognize endogenous substances and distinguish them from foreign substances that have to be repelled. In other words, the immune system is conceived as maintaining the organism's identity and integrity through intolerance. Despite such paradoxes, the notion of tolerance in biology seems less elusive. In engineering, fault-tolerant design seeks to ensure that a system continues to operate even when some of its components fail or information is lost during transmission. Pain tolerance has to do with the capacity of sensitive living beings to resist pain, while frustration tolerance refers to a person's capacity to tolerate the frustration of its desires, or in other words, to endure tension. In all of these cases, excessive tolerance may compromise the system's identity and integrity. What moral and political notions of tolerance add here is a specific way of symbolizing and internalizing the tension between a system and that which affects it. The early Stoic understanding of tolerance as a virtue might be understood as the beginning of such an internalization. Since tolerance is here understood as a dignified way of relating to oneself under difficult conditions, that is, as a sort of moral autonomy linked to an ethics of self-control. Through a further step, we arrive at a radically paradoxical form of tolerance, the voluntary acceptance of something that one opposes at the same time. Here, tolerance is not simply a matter of self-preservation. It is rather bound to a double, conflicting judgment. Both the objection component and the acceptance component seem to imply axiological, emotional, and rational dimensions rather than simply the preservation of a system's identity and functions in the face of variations. Power or powerlessness, tolerance as a multistable figure. As its title, The Power of Tolerance, indicates, the central issue of the present Spannungsübungen is the complex involvement of tolerance with power. Hierarchical power relations indeed seem inevitable when someone is granting someone certain rights. Even when this form of toleration is understood as a self-limitation of power, it remains problematic. It does not require that the tolerating parties view the others' conceptions of the good as equally true or ethically good, but rather that they accept them as the result of autonomous choices or as not immoral. While Forst suggests in the debate that such a respect conception of toleration remains politically productive as it enables marginalized groups to resist domination, Brown extends and radicalizes the critique of the political discourse of toleration by highlighting that tolerance not only maintains hierarchies between the majority and minorities, but is also part of a domestic governmentality. To a large extent, Forst's and Brown's projects are complementary in the sense that they are simply different, do not contradict one another, and can therefore work in an additive manner to provide a fuller picture of tolerance. It is difficult to see how one can unmask all actions supposedly based on moral reasons as strategies of power without ending up with a view of society as a mere field of power relations. And even if this was the case, we are not forced to accept or even affirm it. Tolerance provides the possibility of living on in conditions that one does not necessarily affirm. Depoliticizations, politicizations, or what is at issue? In following the debate, it is not easy to identify precisely the point of difference between Brown and Forst. At the same time, there is also a sense of a deeper tension or even incompatibility, which comes from more than the difference between their projects. Let us begin with Brown, and more concretely, with the term aversion that appears in the title of her book. The notion of aversion suggests an unconscious, negative emotion, and such an emotional and aesthetic dimension is central precisely when Brown concedes that a less problematic or even positive understanding of tolerance is possible. Brown's positive notion of tolerance seems in fact exactly opposed to Forst's, which requires a rational dimension, that is, a dimension that distinguishes human beings from animals. If, as Forst maintains, tolerance requires both objection and acceptance, one might argue that the more the people object to convictions, practices, or other groups of people without acting against them, the more they are tolerant. In order to deal with this paradox, Forst argues that one must formulate minimal conditions for objection judgments. Only once these conditions are met can we speak of tolerance as a virtue. Brown criticizes the discourse of tolerance precisely for its depoliticizing effects. Given such a critique of depoliticization, it may seem paradoxical that Brown's only positive notion of tolerance is almost completely separated from any political or moral dimension. The aim of the respect conception is to find a proper moral justification for acceptance, one on which the parties involved can reciprocally agree in a process of mutual deliberation. The claim is that one can arrive at a foundation of toleration, which is imminent in the social and theoretical conflicts over toleration. Struggling against violent rejection in the spirit of the respect conception can be considered a historical condition for worrying about objection persisting through tolerance. What is more, the political process of reciprocal justification remains necessary if one wants to ensure that the rejection of rejection is morally grounded. Brown questions the necessity of tolerance and seems to suggest that freedom of speech and opinion would suffice in order to negotiate rights. Following her critique of tolerance, one might be led to viewing toleration in politics as a phase that could be avoided altogether. Such a short-circuiting of toleration may be less pragmatic, but one could indeed imagine engaging in the process of mutual justification without having toleration as one of its possible outcomes. However, justification takes time and seems to require that the ethical objections to be negotiated should be maintained during the process. In other words, the right to justification may be incompatible with the simultaneous readiness or demand to let go of ethical objections. Finally, the debate, the power of tolerance, goes to the core of the project tension, or spanunk. Not only does it exhibit and work through some tensions between the discussants' approaches towards tolerance, but the very term tolerance also contains tension in several senses of the word.